Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. We're recording live from WGN Radio. I'm sitting here with my buddy, Ryan Benici, the CMO of G2 Crowd, the fast growing G2 Crowd. I will say the same thing with you as I say every time a G2 Crowd person is in here, which seems to be on a weekly basis, whether it's Tim or we were going to have Goddard on and now we've got you here. And I think, you know, for a lot of the startups in Chicago tech and really anywhere in the world for that matter, it's always interesting to have an update and to like find out what the companies are doing and how they do it and raising capital and plans and growth, because it just moves so fast. Things change so quickly. Then there's another line of companies that we want to have in like very regularly, because not only are they a part of the tech community, whether it's Chicago or abroad, but they serve as sort of the, I don't know what the right word is, the temperature, the gauge for other tech companies. And G2 Crowd is just sort of one of those unique examples that, and I'll let you talk about G2 and give it a real like elevator pitch for those who haven't heard any of the like 17 G2 podcasts we've done. But you guys are a great gauge as to like what companies are doing and working and what technology solutions and SaaS products and platforms are top of market and I guess bottom of market at times too. And then there's like the third type of person we have in the show regularly, which is you, which is an entrepreneur leader of a company who has worked on multiple of what you would call the, I don't want to just say unicorn, because that's not what I'm getting at. It's the companies that we in the tech community at large sort of showcases the top dogs, right? The HubSpots of the world, the Salesforces of the world. I'm missing. Was there Microsoft? Where else were you at? There's a bunch
Microsoft
of
Microsoft and the ExactTarget.
Yeah, yeah, that's all. Just the top four in the CRM space. No big deal. And so I think it's important to note that, because you're coming in here to talk a little bit about, obviously catch us up on G2. I want to learn about your first 9 months as CMO of a major fast growing startup. You weren't CMOs. You know, I don't think you were a CMO of a company before that. So it's a new role.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just from the top level of like being able to sit on a perch and look at other companies grow, what are you seeing out there? So this is, I think it's going to be a very exciting show, and I'm just really happy to have you back in here. Because for me, you know, we work with a lot of sponsors, we work with a lot of partners, and we try to give them the best advice possible on what tools to use. And so, this is a really fast way for me to cheat and just ask you what to do, and then I tell them. So we'll jump into it, Ryan. I want you to start off by just giving a quick elevator pitch. G2 Crowd, what is it?
Yeah, gosh. I think most simplest way to think about it is companies need to grow. They want to start up. They want to scale up, but it's gotten harder and harder to scale up today.
Yep.
It's gotten really easy to start up, right? There's so many tools out there that can help you do a lot of things that were really difficult maybe 20 years ago. So it's really easy to start, really hard to scale. And I think where G2 Crowd really fits in is where that platform that businesses come to when they need help at any stage of growth, whether that's finding the best accounting system for themselves, the best CRM system for their sales team, the best marketing automation system for their marketing team. They basically come to us and we are effectively crowdsourcing content for them to see what are customers of all of those different marketing automation providers saying about their experience. Like, are they actually hitting their lead gen goals or sales goals with the software? Is it what it was meant to do? Is it actually succeeding for you? And so we kind of aggregate all that, like flip it into an algorithm as your classic kind of tech company, and then spit out basically recommendations for you. And it's hyper personalized as well. So, you know, the CRM for a small and medium business might be really different recommendations to an enterprise business, because there's like security components to think about and, you know, users and regions for a sales team. So yeah, we're really like just passionate about getting really trusted, unbiased and really good quality data to businesses out there around the world for no price at all.
Yeah. So that's the key there is the no price at all helps a lot of companies. We're going to flip this in kind of two directions. The first one I think is just getting some feedback from you as a person who would know, what are some of the areas that are really strong right now that startup companies are relying, not even startup companies in general, but I would say, let's minimize or limit it to tech enabled companies are benefiting from. What are the top things right now that are rocking and rolling?
So I'd say like the technology, like there's kind of two ways I guess I could think about it, right? There's like how do companies grow really quickly themselves? So that applies to tech companies and non-tech companies, but then also like what are the different tools that like we're seeing yep. people use? And if I think about what are the tools that we're seeing really fast growth companies use today, I mean, the kind of like bare minimum foundational technologies in my mind, if I was starting a business, would be your CRM platform. And then I think you need to make a call when you're buying CRM as to whether or not you go all in one, which might be your HubSpot, or if you want to go down the point solution route, which might be where you get kind of like a lot of different solutions and you connect them all together.
Yep.
And that it really depends, I think, on the direction you go and what different tools then integrate from there. So it's kind of like one of those things that cascades from that first decision. And a lot of businesses, what we see is, you know, they start up, they think there's a CRM they need to use, or they think there's an accounting solution they need to use, whatever that thing is, because they were marketed to or sold
So can we jump into this conversation a little bit? Because you have obviously one-on-one experience with this, like literally at every stage.
Yeah.
I want to give this kind of a backstory. For those listening, you can check this out on technori.com or like, I think it's on WGN radio.com right now on the homepage, which will be no good to you in about a week when you're listening to this. But anyway, I had a conversation with this guy, Dr. Rob Atkinson, who is he writes for MIT Review and stuff. And I had a conversation with him this past episode or past show on the live show about how there's less startups right now than before. And that's a good thing. And one of the reasons, whether this is good or bad, the outcome is a different thing than the reason for this, the cause, that he believed was that a lot of people are jumping into the startup game because it sounds sexy and we get to be on stage and talk with a mic and it's cool. But the reality is they're being marketed to like never before. And as a result of that, they're getting bad advice. They're getting crappy products. They're getting, they don't know what they're doing. They think that they're going to be like, you know, the Uber for whatever the hell. But then the reality is they spend all their upfront money on tools that they'll never use or never know how to use. And this is sort of my call to action to all you guys listening who are this. If I'm describing you, go to g2crowd.com and check this out, because I swear to God, the ability for a founder or team of founders to know who they want to be versus who they are today and build their infrastructure on paper. How will this work when I grow to X? Before you go and buy all these solutions and then go to G2 Crowd and check out the solutions and see what other people are saying, it will save you probably the existence of your company. What do you see? Like, what is the marketing like? What, like, do you agree with me? Like, do you see?
Yeah,
what I'm
going? I mean, it's funny that you say that, because when I said there was like the other element of it, and what I was going to say is like the thing that I think tech-enabled / SaaS, just technology companies do well, is they're really focused on customer acquisition cost, right? Typically CAC. So they're really good at doing paid ads or inbound content marketing, whatever it is. It's easier for them to do it.
Not easy to make work for them. Just it's easier for them to say like, I need $50,000 a quarter for my budget, and then I'm going to do this.
Totally. Yeah. And this is how many users it gets me or how many leads it gets me. And so they can really kind of like pull that lever, which gets them what they need. But then at the same time, you know, to make a really quick conversion, like less is more almost, right? Yep. Like you're not giving all the details of your product and software. And so you have people sign up that like aren't the best fit.
Yep.
So it's interesting as well, though, I think that you say kind of, you know, what are the things that I see startups do wrong? Because, you know, coming into G2 Crowd, you would think we would have it all together. And I think, you know, we're also just a business like every other business. And, you know, there was a lot of different solutions that we were using, a lot of different point solutions for different things that didn't really integrate well. They were doing their job fine, but we were kind of at that inflection point where like the business was scaling really quickly, and we still are. And so, you know, the numbers are getting bigger and bigger, which is a really good thing. But also like we wanted a lot more visibility into just the full funnel. And the downside of a lot of those point solutions is that you just can't really easily connect up all the data to truly kind of like see like what is our lifetime value of a customer or what is our customer acquisition cost. And building those cohorts got really, really hard. And so, you know, now, you know, it's taken a couple months. I think I've been on board for maybe 9 now, but it took, I'd say, a good 3 to 6 months to really sort of, you know, rip out old tools that weren't working, and we're still paying subscriptions for some of them, right? And so I think that's, to me, the biggest thing is it's just a lot of startups, like when they're buying software, they're really excited. They're not thinking about like what happens if like, you know, we can't build a viable product, or what if we don't have product market fit. And so, you know, like you just see a lot of companies that like still have these bills that they need to pay when they're no longer running that same business that they were running 12 months ago because they pivoted. So
it's so funny how easy, like it's easy to buy it. You think it's going to cure everything. It's going to like do everything. And then you forget how much easier it is to let it go vacant. Like it just sits there like, well, I didn't plug in the components for like 3 weeks. So like, this is useless. And it's just, it's an amazing thing to me. So like now we pivot over to the conversation you kind of alluded to, which is that G2 itself is a startup company in itself. And, and that there's a lot of growing pains and things to learn about from your, as a CMO, you've been at it for 9 months. You know, you were at HubSpot before that. You've gotten promoted, obviously, basically acquired, AccuHired everywhere you go. What is it, you know, what has the process been like for you as transitioning into the role of a CMO, the job description versus maybe what you thought it was? And then how does, how has the impact of this led to G2 Crowd success? Because I feel like it's not, you guys have had some shuffling of the deck, you know, with Tim and everything else. And it's just a, how do you keep things rolling?
Yeah. So that's an interesting question. I guess my background, right, is, you know, I started my career in Australia, so Sydney, Australia, which is where I'm from originally. And I was fortunate to always work for American companies. And I always kind of, I guess, selected companies that had, you know, amazing products. And I actually would, the two kind of data points I always use when I'm like looking to pivot, change careers or change roles within a company or to find another company is I look at like the Glassdoor rating of the company.
Yep.
And I look at the G2 Crowd rating, right? Because like I want to see a company has amazing culture, but if they have amazing culture and a shitty product and their customers hate them, like that culture is not going to last very long when the money runs out, right? So like I've always looked at those things and that's kind of guided me really nicely to where I am today. But I think the benefit that I have that, you know, if anyone listening to this is like at that stage in their career where they really want to step up and own more of kind of the full funnel or be a CMO before you're a CMO, I would say being a regional marketer is a really nice way to do that. You know, move to London, move to Singapore, move to Sydney, and you get to run marketing for your region for that company. So right, like technically I wasn't a CMO before this role, but you know, I was head of marketing at Salesforce for APAC, head of marketing at HubSpot for APAC, before moving to the US with HubSpot. And so that was really nice because it gave me, I think, a lot more experience than a typical marketer at maybe a senior director level would have, because I was, you know, managing full funnel leads, MQLs, PR, social, digital, blog content. So that was kind of really nice. So I think on that front, it wasn't like there were skills missing with regard to kind of like the skill set of a CMO in terms of like marketing.
Yep.
I think what was kind of different and I just had to kind of learn and it's been really, really fun was just, it's a little less like hands-on actually. And I love marketing. Like I'm just the world's biggest marketing geek. I could just talk to people for hours.
So like
days
this is a great
this.
Time to plug it at Ryan Benici on Twitter. It's a great place to start. If you don't believe what he's saying, you can just go check it out. Cause it's a lot of followers and a lot of content.
There's a lot. And you know, so I really just love it. And I think that was just one of the things for me was like, I needed to actually step back and probably do less of the marketing myself. And that's really hard, right? Like when you're in like a leadership role where you have like leaders underneath you who have leaders underneath them, who have like individual contributors underneath them, because you're getting more and more disconnected. And I think the problem with, you know, becoming a CMO that gets too disconnected is you just over time will become a shitty marketer, which is, I think, what, you know, most corporate marketers that are a lot older than me
which
are.
Similarity wise, it's the same thing with like CEOs. It's a rare, if you actually step back and look at it, it's a very rare feat to see a CEO stay at one place for a really long time, because like you said, a shitty marketer.
Yeah.
It's easy as a person who's got a leadership role underneath a leadership role underneath a leadership role to become a shitty leader.
Totally.
And that's like, that to me is, you know, it's interesting. We spent a lot of time on the show talking about this, about the leadership spot here, where startup companies, and I don't mean to disparage startup companies or anybody, any founder for anything at this point. I'm just, maybe I do, I don't know, but I'm not trying to on purpose. Bottom line is, sometimes it's easy for, not easy, it's hard, but needs to be done, that a startup recognizes who they are in the world. And like, maybe our company's not going to be the next Salesforce or the next G2 Crowd. Maybe we're going to be a really good acquisition target for G2 Crowd or Salesforce. Mm-hmm. And the leadership role you're in, you don't have to worry about being sort of undercut. Like I think sometimes startups don't know who they are and who they're going to be. And so when they set their team hierarchy up, they basically set themselves up to fail. They set it up to where they end up threading the team and it just becomes, you know, like you said, it just becomes bad leadership or it's bad marketing or whatever.
Yeah.
It's an interesting dichotomy.
I mean, I think to be a good leader, whether you're a CMO or CEO, and I think we actually get this pretty well at G2 Crowd, is that you need to be in the trenches with your team, right? But know when to get in and when to get out.
Yep.
So I think for me, if I'm seeing kind of the quality or something decline, or I'm noticing something isn't like up to the levels that I would like, I'll get really in the weeds with the person or the team. And I give them really radically candid feedback on that. Hey, like you can do better than this. Like, this is what we need. Like, bring this back to me tomorrow and let's have a look at it again. Our CEO does the exact same thing, right? Like I think a CEO that's like not spending time with sales leadership and in the trenches with sales kind of loses touch with the customer and the process. So that's really important. And I think that's been something that, you know, I've been lucky, I guess, to be a part of really fast growth companies, right? So I think when I was at Exact Target, we were 1,000 employees when I joined. And I think when I left, we were about 2,500. HubSpot was about the same, maybe 900 employees to like 2,000. G2 crowd, I think when I joined was like 120 or so at the like end of last year, and we're almost at 200 now. So yeah, like, you know, doubling, more than doubling year over year, whether that's like headcount, revenue, everything. And so you really quickly like see all of those different stages of business growth in an accelerated time frame, which is kind of nice in some ways, actually, because, you know, we're seeing what like we're trying to help businesses out there see as well. Like, this is how you can grow really quickly, use the right tools, hire a great team, and have smart strategies. But it's happening really quickly, and I think you need to kind of be able to keep up with that. And I think that's really why hiring is just like so important to me and so important to G2, like as we've scaled up that quickly. And I think that's a big part of kind of like being the 179th, you know, fastest growing private company in the US this year by Inc. is that like, I think we've got a bit of like a good model for growth, right? Godard, our CEO, you know, sold his first company to Oracle, his second company to Salesforce. Like, he kind of knows that model really, really nicely. Which is kind of rare because he's not a hands-on leader. He's like a very autonomous leader. He gives you autonomy and he trusts you to make the right decision. And if you don't, like, that's on you. And so that model that he's created just works really nicely, assuming that you have like the right people in the right roles that can do it. Because I think the downside with that kind of leadership is that if you are really disconnected, that person could be doing the wrong stuff for a while before you notice.
Yep.
So yeah, it's kind of a balancing act, I think, but it's been a pretty wild ride to see like the company evolve over the last like just 9 months. It's crazy.
So where does that put you as CMO and the things that you thought you were going to get done right off the bat? Cause you're like, this is a new role. And to your point, you know, I think you were really well, particularly in this space. I mean, this is a very unique job for you. I mean, it really is like well built for you. So I think one of the things that maybe was a, I don't know what the right word is here, but you, like you mentioned, when you get to run sort of a market, you kind of get the idea of like, this is what one market looks like. So we've got seven of them.
Yeah.
So managing seven individual markets, you can put it together a little better. Yeah. What are the differences in things as a CMO versus your last role? Like what did you come in thinking I'm going to do and what have you done?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, I mean, I guess some of the differences that I've found so far is that, so when I was in Australia, maybe this is just a thing for Asia Pacific, because it's literally like the other side of the world versus Europe, which is a little bit closer, but you get given quite a lot of autonomy in those regional roles. So, like you're not given a lot of support by HQ, which is a good thing. And I kind of like feel like that's why I was lucky to move faster up in my career and, you know, be a CMO before 30 because of like the experiences that I got, because I was just thrown in the deep end. So I'd say like, you know, the biggest difference really though is like things that are more people related really, right? So now, you know, I have like VPs under me that are all like trying to get money from me basically and like splitting up my budget between them, right? And things like that, I don't think I ever had to think about as much because I was just given X dollars and I then had to kind of optimize that across my team, but it was a little bit different. Because like there's, you know, when you're running a regional team, you've got someone that runs paid, you've got someone that runs like events, it's kind of easy to break that. Whereas at the VP level, the things that people do are a little bit more kind of nuanced, I guess. So that's one thing that I don't think I've built the perfect model for yet. But it's like going nicely. Like the ROI we're seeing from our marketing spend is incredibly high right now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of nice. I think the other stuff is that like when you're a regional marketer as opposed to like a CMO, you just, the scope of the problem and the solution is just like very different. So I think when I sit down with our board and our board, you know, meeting every quarter, the discussions are like around product evolution and around, you know, how do we attract more buyers to our site so we can help more people buy the best software for their business. And so they're quite like broad problems, which I really personally love, because like the solution isn't really simple of like, yep, do an ad that fixes it. It's quite more complex. And so that's really fun. I love that.
So I guess the big question for me, and I think everyone else listening on where G2 Crowd's going, what are the immediate plans for growth? What are the things you guys are trying to get into more? Because I mean, there's from a person who understands G2 Crowd the way that I do, I mean, I see the platform, I see how much can be grown out of it. There's all kinds of stuff, education, ratings, reviews, there's just tons of stuff. What is the most important thing for you to get right as you start, you know, really starting to ramp it up?
Yeah. So I think, gosh, the most important thing for us to get right. So, you know, when we started 5 or 6 years ago, it was all about reviews, right? So generating reviews on products to then give really unbiased kind of recommendations. That's still, I think, going to be the foundation and a really important component of our business. But I think like the kind of perspective of the executive team and myself, and I kind of feel like I've been trying to drive this personally, is that like, I've been trying to kind of get our executive team to not focus so much on just reviews, because if you think about like buying software, you know, in the life cycle of just like an executive, right? So, you know, I've brought in lots of new tools since I joined in the last 9 months, but like buying software only probably has made up maybe like 0.1% of my entire time in the job as CMO. And I've brought on board maybe like 10 different solutions. So it's a really small point in time. And that's not to say it's not important, right? Like for vendors, for software companies, like Salesforce, like HubSpot, like Guru, like Drift, you know, amazing companies out there today. That's obviously really important, the buying process, yeah? And they're all doing their own marketing to help businesses find them and buy from them. But I think like for me, what I really want to do is like build a bigger platform with G2 Crowd, whereby we're actually like a marketplace where people come to us to not only buy software from us, but to actually learn about how to best implement the software. The strategy content actually I think is really important, because I think that's a big reason why like people aren't successful with software. It's because they don't have the right strategy from the get-go. Yeah. So for example, you know, if you run an outbound sales team that's very like cold calling focused and that's all you have, HubSpot wouldn't be right for you, right? Because it's all about inbound attracting. So like I don't think though that companies like will do a good job at like clarifying that, because naturally, right, like you want to sell, if you're a salesperson, you're trying to sell your product to the person, you're not going to tell them. I mean, most salespeople probably aren't going to say like, this maybe isn't the right solution for you.
You can do it, but you should go to Salesforce.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think we want to become, you know, I guess more strategic in their life cycle. So they come to us, not just when they're coming to buy. And I mean, we're seeing millions of people come to us every month, right? You know, millions and millions. So that's really amazing. But I think if we start to broaden our landscape, which we are doing, and have people come to us when they're not just looking to buy, but they're looking to improve at their job. So if I'm a marketer, you know, I might want to learn how to write a press release. Yeah. So we pull you in on, you know, a press release template, really good content around how to write a press release, how to reach out to reporters and journalists. We can then say, PS, like there's some really good PR software that can help you do this.
Yeah.
So we can kind of really nicely connect the strategy content, if that makes sense, with like the software, and they're complementary. So I think like the vision and long-term play for G2 Crowd is to become the Amazon of business. So where we're allowing.
So no lofty goals, just simple, simple no lofty shit, goals, really easy, check them off.
We've kind of elevated from the Yelp for business software to
we're so much better than Yelp. Like that's so yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, we truly like our number one value is like helping buyers first, and like we truly like in our DNA want to help businesses grow better. So
as a business operator, I can't thank you guys enough for it, because I will say, listen, we've had sponsorships with Salesforce. We love Salesforce. It's all good. But the challenge, and I only know this through them specifically, but it goes across HubSpot and everywhere else. Integration. If you guys could solve the problem just for me and the other million people like me, to where they don't have to go to a third party for integration, that's like, I mean, we get the person who tells me, oh yeah, you can connect Pardot and five other products and you have the perfect solution, and then you sign the agreement and then it's like $1,400 to implement each one of them, and then you got to teach your team, which is time and money, and then it's like, where should I go to learn more? Oh, we got a YouTube channel. Like, what the hell? Like, I just bought this. Like, you guys just took $25,000 from me, and I don't have anything. I don't even have anything. It's not even. I can't even log in.
Totally.
It's crazy. So, I would love to see you guys create a platform where you can be like, G2Crowd.com. Here's what I'm looking for, and then you come back with like, here's five things, and this is what people like you rank them at.
Yeah.
And then I sign up for it. You guys take a little kick off the top of it, I imagine. And then you send me back, like, here's your onboarding, you know, process information. And by the way, if you want to sign up for, you know, our CRM email newsletter, boom, all of a sudden I've got like my weekly first, you know, every day, and then it's weekly, then it's monthly from you guys to like help me. Are you doing okay?
And, 100%. And that's kind of like the route we're going down, right? Like truly lifecycle comms with everything that we're doing. But I think what's also kind of cool that we're the only one really doing this in the space is that like we have tens of thousands of service companies on our site too, right? So marketing agencies, legal firms. And what's really interesting is that like there aren't many vendors that like when someone says they're not having success with a CRM or marketing automation or accounting software, whatever, we're now starting to kind of connect like practitioners that sell services in that space to then actually say, hey, like if you've not been having success with your CRM, maybe it wasn't implemented properly because you did it in-house and you didn't spend any money. Like work with us, we'll get it up and running for you really well. So we're kind of starting to make those recommendations depending on where people are at, and also finding out how successful the tool has actually been for them. So,
very cool.
Yeah, it's been fun.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you these three questions and then we're going to head out of here.
Sounds good.
They're real easy. I want you to name to me the top three business tools Doesn't matter across anything. Could be a CRM, could be a marketing tool. You mentioned PR. Like anything you think are like the top three tools that I should use to get my business off the ground.
Okay. And get like what size business are you running? Like
I'm a startup. Let's say we're not just two dudes in a laptop. We're like 10 people team getting ready to like open office space. We're making money. Call it $1 million in revenue.
Okay.
Like,
cool. I mean, if I was in your shoes in that situation, my personal opinion would be like the tools that I couldn't live without. So Asana would be one of those tools. So Asana's project management, it's like a top rated project management tool on G2 Crowd. Amazing tool. We use it with, you know, different agencies internally. Our entire business uses Asana, like 200 people.
Us
like
too.
Everyone can use it as well. Yeah. Every single person in our business can see like every single project that anyone's working on. Yep. We're really open and transparent. So I'd say Asana is number one. Number two, so Asana's like for keeping the team organized on the back end. I'd say for like the business growth, marketing, sales elements, HubSpot, like massive fan, not just because I work there, but truly
you're
just because they have free products and you know, you can use all their products freemium, and once you start seeing success from them, then you upgrade.
Such a brilliant
model. I love that for buyers because like there's literally kind of no outlay from you from the get-go, of course, which is beautiful. So that'd be my second tool. And I don't know, gosh, my third one, because like HubSpot does like
so much.
It does freaking so much. Yeah. It's such a freaking good tool. What else am I missing?
Social media engagement. Do you use anything there?
HubSpot does that as well. Yeah. I would probably say, oh, that's tough. I mean, if you're a startup, you don't maybe need this, but like, I love using Greenhouse personally.
Okay.
It's like a recruiting tool. And it's really nice. It kind of like turns recruiting into a CRM. So, you know, this probably isn't necessarily for a 10-person company, but as you get to like 50 to 100 and you're interviewing lots of people and you have different people like interviewing different candidates, it's like really beautiful because it kind of standardizes the process, minimizes people's bias. Really, really cool tool. Another great tool for startups is Expensify, which is like an app for doing your expenses. A lot of the enterprise companies out there are really painful to use, having used them all myself. There are a couple. I mean, gosh, Slack as well, right? Like, you know, Slack chat for your team. We run on Slack too. There's a lot.
Yeah, so we're on all these. I'm just looking through here. No, it was perfect. That
There's
was a
so
perfect
many.
One. So that is, that. We are two out of the three there. We use two out of three. Slack, if you throw it in, we're three out of four. There's another company out there called True Search that has a CRM for recruitment that I was looking for the name, but I can't find it right off the top of my head. But I'll send it to you. It's another one. I think you get a big kick out of how they find executives. But
and then Product Hunt as well. I mean, it's not necessarily like a tool that you're paying for.
I think Product Hunt's a good one that just sort of splashes stuff all over the place.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it just because, I mean, for anything that's like a more fully fledged product that you have to pay for, like I would go to G2 Crowd, obviously, to see ratings and reviews if I was going to buy something. But I love Product Hunt for those smaller apps that are starting up, because I find like today you're so limited as a leader by this technology that you use. And so I love Product Hunt because it kind of keeps me on like the cutting edge of like what are the new tools coming out that are in beta. I'll like ping the CEO, get like a beta account and test them out. And I find that kind of fun. And also like then I can incorporate that into our marketing strategy or sales strategy if I like that. So, you know, 3 years ago, I think I found a cool company on Product Hunt that made Facebook Messenger bots. And I integrated that with all of HubSpot's like stuff.
It's a great place to keep an eye on like some of the different things.
Yeah, some
that
of the
are, like,
cool new
around.
Technologies. And so like, you know, I ran an experiment using Facebook Messenger instead of email sign in. And we saw like something like a 500% increase in like marketing qualified leads from it. And then if I fast forward like 2 years, like HubSpot acquired Motion.ai, which was a Chicago-based like bot building company. Amazing
Technology
tool.
Alum company.
Yeah, Dave Nelson, CEO there, is now at HubSpot. Love him, love the team. But like that kind of all rolled out of like me playing on Product Hunt and then running an experiment myself, which had success. And then, you know,
them
speaking with our CEO and everyone, and then like them going down that route. And so, you know, bots are a really interesting part of strategy moving forward, especially with digital. So, you know, Product Hunt is just, I love it. Big fan.
Very cool. Awesome. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time. Where do people go to learn more about you and learn more about G2 Crowd?
Yeah, to learn more about G2 Crowd, literally just go to learn.g2crowd.com. We have a lot of amazing content on there for marketers, for designers, for salespeople, for leaders, like for any kind of persona really that wants to get better at their job, and they can subscribe. And then for me, you know, my handle is at Ryan Benici, B-O-N-I-C-I. NNICI, and that's like across Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. I think there's 150,000 people stalking me across those different networks, so feel free to join in. Yeah,
very cool. I'm one of the stalkers. Thank you so much for taking the time.
So great to be here. Thanks, mate.
Of course, you can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere you'd follow Ryan Benici at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.